Okay, so let's welcome our next guest. So, a former roommate and teammate of Paddy's above Grimsby Town in York City, scored so many significant goals for us, and needs little introduction other than to say his name is Ashok. Okay, so first of all, what's Paddy like as a roommate? Any embarrassing traits?
No, do you know what's funny? I was thinking about this on the way in, and we're very much alike, and that's why I would not share with anyone else. So if Paddy didn't travel, I was on my own. I was lucky to be on my own, but I was ended up being on my own. We're actually very much alike, and we always pretty much got up the same time, went for breakfast really early before everyone else. Yeah, stretch, like two old men.
It sounds really sweet, doesn't it?
So, I actually don't, to be fair.
Okay, fair enough. I think it's fair to say that you are, you know, most associated with the Al and the R, almost, you know, as his first real hero, really, with iconic moments. But you had a really good game at Boom and Crescent as well.
Knew you were going to bring this up.
And in one of the last seven games, you scored twice when Hereford beat us 4-1, which kind of cost us, given it went to points per game. So, any guilt?
See that round of applause? You're trying to take it back, isn't it?
Just so humbly, just bring you back down.
It's funny because I remember, so I tried to come to York for quite a while, and I'd rang Paddy, I spoke to Paddy, and I knew that game, if I could do something, then I might have a chance, like with the manager, etc. Obviously, it went the way, we don't need to talk about what actually happened, but it went the way it did. But the manager still didn't want me. So, yeah, that's the end of it.
Well, I mean, you made up for it when you joined us. So let's talk about those playoffs. I mean, the Chorley goal, I think, is many people's favourite at the LNER. I mean, again, a little bit similar to Matty's one at Wembley. Similar sort of goalkeeper comes rushing out, doesn't he? Does that make your mind up for you?
It does, yeah. Wembley and LNER are a little different, but yeah.
That's a humble hint.
No, yeah, it does. Keep it coming. Yeah, I just hit a note, to be honest. I know what the goal is. It doesn't move. And to be fair, it's one of them. As soon as you lose your foot, I think you said the same. I knew it was in. And then I've got a lot of pictures of me and Paddy. Paddy is on my back straight away. And it's funny because you said we played together before. I've got a lot of pictures of Paddy on my back from then as well.
This has turned out really weird. Quite how I thought it was going to go, but
I see where your mind goes, though. Listen,
it's interesting because you said that as soon as it left your foot, you thought it was in. Same with what Matt was. As a supporter, I didn't feel like that. I don't know about everyone else. I felt like it took an absolute age to come down.
I mean, I think it went over the stand and back down. It was that high. That's probably why. But yeah.
Yeah, especially, and I think that was one of your favourite goals, wasn't it, you said, Theo?
It was, yeah. Yeah, I think just the way it went in, and I think the final one was obviously is up there, but the way that's probably one of the best goals I've scored in my career.
Yeah, yeah. And Brackley was almost the hardest game in those playoffs. You know, we had a terrible record there. It was only about 6 weeks before we'd lost kind of 3-0 to Alfreton as well, so our away form wasn't particularly brilliant. So how did you guys have the confidence to kind of book that trend? Is it because it's like a one-off game and you think anything can happen, or what was the mindset going into that?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think me personally, I just felt like something was building. We were on a decent enough run to get into that position. Momentum was going with us, and I think it's kind of like that in the playoffs. Momentum is very key. We just went out, and like you said, it was a one-off game. And I think me, myself, getting a goal, but obviously the team, and can't forget what Jamo did at the back and saving that penalty before half-time. So I think we just... Can I have some, please? I think it was just, like I said, momentum, and we just kind of went with it.
Yeah, and the final, you know, I remember you being very heavily strapped up. If it was a standard league game, would you have played that game?
Yeah, Paddy would say, yeah, the way I am, probably. But the final makes a big difference. You can't miss that final. I had a feeling, like I said, like something was building, and I think it was six games on the bounce of scoring, and I just woke up and I knew I was going to score that day, and I've never had that feeling before in my whole career. I just knew I had to be on the pitch. Couldn't move properly, but I just knew I had to be there, and like I said, I've never had that feeling before, and yeah, it came to fruition.
Yeah. What was it, the feeling like when you scored that goal in the final?
Joy, relief. It's weird because again, I just felt like I knew it was going to happen, and I know as a supporter it's probably totally different because you're on your edge of your seat, but I felt it. Like I said, I've never had that before, so it was joy, it was relief. It was better when the second went in, even though it was so late. Like, you just, I think you see the video, like I'm a bit angry as well as really happy celebrating when Maz
got it.
Yeah, I was angry but happy at the same time. Yeah, I don't know. We don't need to go down that road.
Fair enough. I want to argue with. And that was my next question. Was what was the was the feeling different when Maz scores the second goal? I know it's not you who scored it, but as a supporter, I just felt pure relief.
Relief. Yeah. Exactly.
Being in that division again.
Yeah, I knew he was over the line. And I mean, I came to the club in what I think it was January, and for me, I wanted to play more games, and there was nothing about getting promoted. I just wanted to play games. I wasn't playing at parent club at the time, and so to actually achieve something and come and do that at such a big club, and like I said, a club that I wanted to come to before, there was loads of emotions going through my head personally, but relief, as well as hopefully then future on the season to try and be here for the following season.
Yeah, didn't you go to West Ham the next day with Grimsby, is that right? Because you were still sort of contracted to them.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it was like a weekday. So I went back. I went back injured. I think the final for. Well, no, actually, I was there for the semis, the eliminator semis, right. And then the final. Yeah, but I didn't play.
No. Okay. And arguably, your most significant goal is the Aldershot one, which, quite frankly, I think we could have been relegated. We'd not won that day. It seemed to sort of spark the momentum. It's so much about that game. You know, a few days after losing 6-1 at Altrincham. Aldershot were in the playoffs at the time. We'd had a really tough run in. You just come on. I think they were still announcing your name on the tunnel when the corner came in. And then that's it, bang, you know, the rest is history. So, what's your memories of that particular goal?
I've come on the sub so many times in my career, but you just come on and you just... No matter how long's left, you know, you've always got a chance, especially as a striker. It's your job, it's to score goals. And I came on, I think me and Cal, I don't actually remember what me and Cal had actually said to each other. But yeah, we split, he ran, he got there, and I was just there, again, there at the right time, right place. We could have probably tried to do that on the training ground, it wouldn't have happened. So I don't know how much credit I can take for it, but I was there at the right time.
You can take a fair bit of credit, I think. Another thing that was unusual is that you kind of expect teams down the bottom, sort of battling for their lives, to kind of play kind of more direct and stuff like that. You guys did it the opposite, didn't you? Which made it, I don't know anyone else who's done it that way. I've seen plenty of teams sort of play attractive football and think, right, it's not working out, let's go to kind of two banks of four or whatever. But you guys started to play some really good football. That must have been quite strange almost.
But you know what? It gave us a direction, and obviously the current manager, but I can't speak highly of him, for what he came in and did at that time when we had no direction. It was very mismatched. We were going into games with hope at best, and he had his philosophy. And I think the week before that, obviously we had a heavy loss, on weekend we had a heavy loss, and he stuck by his principles, and he wanted to make sure he wanted to play how we wanted to play. And that goal then I think gives everybody confidence to play that way. And they see it working and they see us getting results, and the rest is history, really. Yeah.
Do you think we'd have won at Bromley had we not been on the shot the way before?
Again, probably not, because the confidence is high, and teams start looking at you in a different light, like they probably do now when they play York. They know they're going to play football and they're going to keep the ball, and we had teams, we were playing before that game, people would come on us, just press, press, press. Then all of a sudden, we were the ones with the ball, and we were the ones that were dictating games, so it changed just like that. And I kind of can't say I can only give him as much credit as I can.
Yeah, and last season you had a great start. That you scored 5 goals very early on without even starting a game, but kind of injury hit the second half of the season. Do you think that sort of cost you the chance to prove enough for a new contract, or do you think that was kind of your time anyway?
In terms of the season, yeah, I started well, and then the injury came at a terrible time for me personally. Except it wasn't a great injury. It was out for what, 10 weeks, and then by the time I came back, obviously the club had decided to buy a very beautiful man. I love him to pieces. He's a gorgeous man. So much time for him. But they bought this lovely man, and obviously he's going to have to play. Kind of put me down the pecking order. I needed to get fit. Wasn't match fit. So there was all of that to consider. But yeah, I was still available. And then when I did get back, felt like I contributed when I could. And I never wanted to leave, but it's just the way football goes. So, yeah.
And you moved on to Boston. Obviously, they've forgiven you for the playoffs a few years before.
As you have forgiven me.
I have, yes. You put words in my mouth, but yeah, you're right. How's that going? You know, obviously, you've got yourself back fit as well and firing, obviously, 3 goals in the last 2 games.
Yeah, enjoying it, settled in. Got a weird start to the season, not having a league game and everyone else did, but started yesterday, and yeah, we got off to a win. That's the most important.
Yeah. And are you looking forward to coming back to the LNER? Is it going to be a bit strange?
It will be strange. I've already got a few threats. Not going to lie, just that corner over there. I'm a little bit worried.
You can handle yourself.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Family's looking forward to it. They can't wait to come to the game. So hoping I'm fit.
Yeah, I mean, Boston always beat us, apart from the playoff game, obviously. So, yeah, good luck for the rest of the season, apart from those 2 games. Lionel John Lewis, everyone.
Thank you.
So, to our headline act. So, first of all, in this current climate, particularly at the level of football, to have 10 seasons at one club is extremely rare. Loyalty in football is very rare for both clubs and for players, but Paddy McGoughlin and York City are a great match. And it's been an absolute pleasure from my perspective as a supporter to watch someone who always gives 100% and has given us some special moments during his time with the club. But for me, it's not just the glory of 2012 or the promotion in 2022. What sets Paddy apart is that he came back to the club when he was really struggling and needed his experience to help rebuild it. He's played under 8 different managers. The permanent one didn't include the caretaker one. And you'd be hard pushed to find any of them to say a single bad word about him. So over 250 appearances for the club, please give a great reception. Potentially a little bit bigger than Lenny's. Give a fresh one to Paddy McLaughlin. So let's go back to the start of York City's journey, the summer of 2011. I think the era that you're playing now, if it was a captain of Newcastle United's reserves who'd played 10 times for their country at under 21 level, they wouldn't end up in non-league. So how did Gary persuade you to come to York City in the first place?
Tom did say that earlier. I think it was Blairy. He's a very persuasive man. As you mentioned there, I think clubs would move players on a lot sooner at that time. I think nowadays, you know, someone with my CV at that age would maybe, you know, be kept around until maybe 23, 24. But at that time, it was kind of, if you got to the age of 20 and you hadn't made a dent on the first team, it was like, you need to go and play football somewhere. I remember, you know, over that summer, I was waiting on Football League club coming in. There was a couple of, you know, half sniffs and opportunities. I think I played a couple of trial games for a couple of teams before the end of the season, and then phone call came from, it was actually an agent that, you know, he wasn't my agent at the time, just an agent that rang and said that York City were interested, and my first question was, who are they and what league are they in? So arranged anyway that I would go down and meet Gary Mills at Booth and Crescent. Drove down from Newcastle, went into the office, and straight away he was like, yeah, you can be persuasive. And he looked me right in the eye and he said, "I'm building something here. I think I was the last sort of main signing of that summer." And he said, "You're like the last piece I'm looking for, and we're going to get promoted." I've never had that feeling before from any other manager that I played under. Still to this day, but I believed every single word he said. And I promised myself I wouldn't sign that day, you know, before travelling down. And I told him that. I said, "I need time to think about it. I've got to go away and, you know, have a think about it." He sent me for a walk into the city. He said, "Go for a walk, have a look around. You'll love the place. And come back." And when I came back, he sat me down, intimidated, looked me right in the eye and said, "You signing that?" And I was like, "No." So I eventually got out of Booth and Crescent that day without signing. But it was only a few days later that I rang him and gave him the word that I would be signing the contract.
So kicking and screaming best to sound
else. Yeah, I suppose you could say it like that a wee bit, because at 20 years old, having left the Premier League club, 6 months earlier, I was trying to get into a first team that was playing in the Premier League, and yeah, to drop into non-league was, I didn't want to do it, but I'm thankful that I did now.
Yeah, it's a nice touch telling you to go walk around the city, isn't it? It's, you know, thinking if I told you I hold them to go walk. So we spoke earlier with Matty about the Barrow game. So how good are your memories of that game and that kind of early time of the club?
I remember, I just enjoyed it from minute one, and as I said, like, I got the feeling that we were doing something special, and I believed him when he said we were going to get promoted, and I was fully on board and fully sucked in, and whether that was naivety of, you know, youth, I don't know, but, you know, as Blair touched on again, like, the lads just hit it off, and I remember just enjoying pre-season, enjoying just being swept along in the first season of men's football, and yeah, just loved every minute of it. Loved training, loved the games, loved everything being different about men's football as opposed to what I was used to and sort of youth team and reserve team football. And yeah, just rode the crest of the wave really all summer.
And you loved the nice out as well, obviously.
The nice out, yeah.
You had your best ever return for goals that season. Was that down to the freedom that Gary would sort of give players? You know, I didn't mention it with Matty earlier, but kind of like the Mansfield semi-final, like Jason Walker's popping up on the left and you're in the centre, and you would kind of pop up in different places as well. Was that because Gary allowed you to kind of do those sort of things?
Yeah, he would always instil a lot of fluidity in the front five, if you like, the sort of two attacking midfield players and the three forward players. And he used to say to us, like, if the ball breaks down, I don't really care who's in what position, as long as one of you are in those five positions, and then, you know, you wait for the opportunity of the game to switch back. But I played a wee bit further advanced, I suppose, in that team as well. You know, I had more senior, older players playing behind me, and Scott Kerr and Andre Bukar, who were very good on the ball, reliable on the ball, would take the ball, you know, from the back players and you know, progress it through midfield. And it allowed me just the freedom to almost be like a bit of a number 10 and just float in between the lines. And then obviously picking the ball up in them areas, and I've got Blairy running down one side, Ash Chambers running down the other side, and you could always give it to Jason Walker and you'd normally get it back. So yeah, just a freedom and a confidence, like he mentioned as well. He just instills a confidence in players, and yeah, couple that with the naivety, exuberance of youth, and it was just a perfect storm.
Yeah, and what was your favourite goal from that season? I'm just kind of looking back at some of Wrexham away, surely has to be up there, the free kick.
John Chandler for that one.
Look alike.
I'm probably going to say either Braintree at home or Lincoln at home. I think they're both from a similar area on the pitch. Don't know if anybody remembers them, but
Tom Will,
yeah, probably one of those two would have been a favourite. But yeah, there was, you know, lots of good ones in there. Looting away in the league game.
What were we doing that when we won? And one of my kind of favourite stories from my era that you've told me before was how laid back James Meredith was. And I just wanted you to share it, because there'll be some people who haven't heard this before, but I kind of have this image of James Meredith in my head, but obviously as a person he's completely different in real life.
Just didn't care about football one single bit. I say he didn't care, after maybe doing a little service, but he wouldn't know who we were playing against on a Saturday. He wouldn't, you know, you'd be walking out the tunnel and he'd give you a tap or he'd look over his shoulder and he'd say, Pat, who are we playing today? I'd say, oh, that's Lincoln today. Are these any good? Well, they're, you know, 20th in the league. Oh, we'll beat them then. And it was just that, yeah, if it was anything above 10th, he's like, ooh, fucking, and if it was anything below 10th, well, I will beat these.
Did he know it was in Wembley that day?
Probably not. I mean, nobody's talked to him since. Have you ever seen him?
Isn't he sure? Being a coach, isn't he?
Really?
Yeah, MacArthur FC. Research is great. So how do you look back on sort of Wembley twice now? And is it something that you've appreciated how special it was at the time? Or do you think as you've got older, as you've experienced sort of ups and downs in football, are you looking back now and with different eyes with it?
Yeah, I think there was definitely an element of that, of just thinking that that was the norm. And just my first season in senior football, just thinking that every season was going to be like that. There was never going to be any bad times. It was all going to be brilliant. And you worked that one out, but that wasn't exactly true. I probably appreciate it more now. Certainly enjoyed it at the time and realised the enormity of it, but probably look back now with, you know, more pride and fonder memories. What I can remember now, obviously dementia's setting in and whatnot. But just an incredible time that probably won't be repeated.
Yeah, wonderful. And the glory of that week was sort of quite short-lived, wasn't it? I think many of you who signed for Gary in that summer, you're all on similar kind of two-year contracts. So by the time I'd learned it to come in, he didn't really keep many of you. So kind of, it was quite short-lived. And then 4 years later, we were getting humped like 6-1 at Gateshead and Guiseley. And you were playing for Gateshead that night. But got a standing ovation from York City supporters. Is that the sort of thing that sort of stuck with you when sort of deciding to re-sign for them later on down the line?
Yeah, I always had a good relationship with York fans, and even when, you know, when I left, anytime I would bump into any fans, they were always, you know, very nice to me, very complimentary of, you know, what I'd done at the club and whatever. And obviously my wife, you know, being from York, so you know, we were always around, you know, we're never too far from, you know, spending a weekend here, and you know, I bump into people every now and again. So yeah, that was, I probably didn't think of it too much, but I suppose the natural line of things was that I would eventually come back and play for York. And it nearly happened a couple of times before it actually did happen, but then, you know, 2019, it was the right time to come back.
And when you did eventually re-sign for the club, did it feel like you'd never been away? I mean, obviously we were very different sort of divisions at the time, and what was the feeling like going back through the gates?
It was very much the same. You know, the stadium, exactly the same as when I left it. The training ground was exactly the same as when I left it. But, you know, I can't remember whether there was any players still around. Was Mulcahy? Yeah, I think Mulcahy was. So he obviously knew him for the first time around. So, yeah, there was a lot of things that were just the same as what. And, you know, slotted straight back in there and felt comfortable straight away.
Yeah, and obviously COVID, you know, made a bit of a difference, didn't it? And kind of eventually got promoted in 2022. Players winning against Boston. I mean, you said it was your favourite game for York City to me once before. Like, he almost trumps Wembley twice for you. Why was that?
Maybe just the fact of me being a bit older. And I think there was an element of relief that came on that one. I said 2012 was like, it was just, it felt like we just rode the crest of a wave and just everything went right the whole season. But then to go through some of the, you know, the less enjoyable times and through COVID and obviously missing out on the points per game. And there were some tough times, and then it was almost like a relief of getting over the line of what I came back to the club to try and do. So yeah, maybe just a bit older, a bit more appreciative of what that meant. I'd still probably, it's a tough one, but, you know, it's hard, really hard to pick. But yeah, maybe just, you know, the fact that I led the team out as well as captain, that was, you know, a bit special. And yeah, I'd probably just say that one, just ages it slightly.
Yeah. And obviously since then you've had the club maintain the league status, and although you're not playing as many first team games now, you're clearly respected in the dressing room. You can tell that for the people who spoke today. And I think some people, maybe Josh Jones, think you're a lot older than what you are. You're clearly fit and ready to play. So how do you see the remainder of your kind of career? Are you sort of taking it one season at a time? Is that how it kind of works?
Yeah, take it one season at a time. Like, yeah, I think people do think I'm a bit older than I am. In my head, I'm a bit younger than I am. So, taking it one season at a time. I've got no plans to, you know, to pack in playing anytime soon. And I want to get back out on the football pitch again, you know, whether that's at York, you know, or an opportunity comes up to go and play games somewhere else, you know. I just want to get back to playing football. And like Scotty said, when he went to Darlington, just playing football and enjoying it.
Yeah, I suppose at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, that's what you...
That's what you're for, and that's what you can't... You can't replace that, you can't replicate that. And you can, you know, like, yesterday, checking results at 3 o'clock and just thinking, like, you know, I want to be involved in one of these games. And, that's something I'm keen to do.
Yeah. And I mentioned before that you've played for 8 York City permanent managers. Who was, or is, the best, and why wasn't it David Webb?
Nice.
Want to come back up, sir?
No, thank you.
I'd have to put Melzi down. I think it's the best. Just in terms of that man management and that, how you get the best out of people, and obviously what we achieved. But then, to be fair to John Askey, you know, he comes in a very close second because, you know, as some of the lads mentioned as well, like he gave us a structure and he gave us a platform. And he turned a side that was underachieving into one that, you know, went and achieved what it was capable of. Yeah, less about David Webb the better, probably. But he's doing very well for himself now.
Yeah, he is, yeah. I think I'm right in saying that you've done some of your UEFA coaching badges, and I think you're on the same course as Scotty Way. Yeah. Well, is that something that you've decided to kind of do, or is that a potential option at this stage?
It's a potential option, I think. Reluctant to try and plan too much and try and sort of pigeonhole what I want to do, but I've, you know, obviously done a sports science degree when I was a bit younger, doing some coaching stuff now, and yeah, just trying to put some things in place that to roughly plan that, you know, I can go down one of them avenues when I finish playing and I decide that, you know, one of those avenues is for me. So yeah, people keep asking me at the minute, you know, what are you going to do next, and the answer is I don't really know, but I'm pretty sure something will just fall into place and it'll be all right.
Hopefully. So let's talk about this testimonial year. How proud are you to have been awarded this?
Extremely proud. And, you know, it's been a massive part of my life. You know, 10 seasons, but it almost seems longer than that because it's, you know, because it's been over 2 sales, it's like 14, 15 years. And when you think, you know, I'm only 25, so that's like 4 or 5 years. So, no, extremely proud. The way it's been received, the way it's been supported, the many of you, you know, here tonight, and signing up for the other events and whatnot, it's been massively overwhelming, and I'm really thankful for that. I'm proud, you know, to be able to put stuff like this on and have the turnout like we have here.
Yeah, all said then. Finally, I'm going to finish off by sort of going through some questions from the audience. Before, we've got a David McGurk who's put a question in. He's on holiday tonight. He's a big part of the committee. And he says, which was the better dressing room? I think this was the question, wasn't it? 2012 or 2013?
Or current squad, I think you put
in. Or current squad?
So I've basically got to offend somebody over there.
I mean, I won't be offending two of them, but you carry on.
I think I'll move to. Yeah. I think just for what we achieved and what that season was from start to finish, it was just good moment after good moment after good moment. So I think 2012 would have to be my favourite dressing room. I realise I've been too heavy with. But
to be fair, you're on more nights out, probably about
that. Yeah, that's true as well. But I think, you know, set up a WhatsApp group the other day to invite some ex-teammates to the dinner, which is all on everybody's table, if everybody could just have a look at that. That's a plug, by the way. And yet, as I was setting that up, realised that I still had, I think, 95% of, you know, teammates from 2012 in my phone book. And I think that speaks volumes, because we were a very tight group, we got on really well, and we achieved great things together.
Who's the 5%? That's what we're going to need to okay, so here's some of the questions. So I think this is Joe, at the same age of your... In fact, where is Joe? It is Joe, isn't it? Oh, Joe, lovely Joe's there. At the same age of your boys are now, what were your ambitions? Was it to be a footballer?
to be the Green Power Ranger, I think it was. Yeah, it was probably around that age that age boys are, or
what they are now.
What they are now. So at one age, I was 5 now, so at one age, yeah, I probably just started getting into football. Didn't really know where it was going to go, but...
And then we've got Albo and Adam, is that right? Have I said that right? Would you like your patio extending?
If you're doing it for free, yeah.
Good gift on your testimony, yeah. Gavin Dan, where Gavin Dan? Out of all the players you've played alongside, who would be in your five-a-side squad? Ooh, this is interesting, particularly when you've got four guys in there.
Five-a-side squad.
So who's in goal?
Do we need a keeper? Just play all over. Just have the ball and then we won't need a goalkeeper. No, we'll have a goalkeeper. We'll have Michael Ingham. Yeah, tough call between Inge and
Pete
Jameson. But I think Inge looked after me a lot when I was, you know,
just coming to the club. So
yeah, we'll go for Michael Ingham. Andre Bucard definitely in there. I think he's the best player I played with. I think, you know, people sometimes shock when I say that, but he was unbelievable the way he could control the football and run a game. I'm going to stick the big man in there, Sharp. Stilly Sons, he thought that was you, didn't he? how many is that? That's 3. Oh, how could I forget my mate? He's in there.
No way. Absolutely no chance.
James Meredith, because everybody needs a bit of carefree
action. You wouldn't know where Game is,
would you? You just take the pressure off and have gone away.
Okay, one from Jamie. Finish off on Mike. It's a good one to finish on, I think. Is there one match that stands out as the best team performance that you've been involved in New York City? So it might not be the...
That's a terrible question. I don't know if it was necessarily the best team performance, but I think a really, really good day that probably nobody gave us a prayer would have been Chesterfield away on Good Friday a couple of years ago. And to come from a hand,
oh, I think. Wait,
waiting for a bit of some.
Come on, look, Dan. Come on,
Yeah, no, Paddy was a top guy, top player. Yeah, Chesterfield was a great day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Probably one of our best performances that year, really.
I think just the fact that it was, you know, away at Chesterfield when we were struggling, I think we'd come off the back of, did we win the game before against Barnet, which was a massive one against Barnet, and probably nobody gave us a chance of, you know, then going away to Chesterfield and putting 2 wins on the bounce together. And then go 1-0 down as well, and then come back and win 3-1. And I mean, I scored a good goal that day, and it was probably the worst goal in the whole game. Because Liam Mandeville scored an unbelievable goal. Dyson's volley was unbelievable, and he sticks one in from the halfway line. So, but yeah, an unbelievable day. I know it wasn't us mathematically secure at that time, but it felt like that was the one that just got us over the line, just got us enough breathing space that you know, would see us through over the line on saying that last season.
Yeah. Any other memories, Ducky, from playing with Paddy?
Yeah, quite a lot, to be fair. I always enjoyed playing with Paddy. He was my sort of player, like to take the ball. Hated players who would just kick it long, I should probably know. Paddy was definitely not one of them. Always was available, centre midfielder, loved to take the ball in half turn. So, yeah, it was just good talent. He's getting on now, so.
Don't get left the club at the time I came in 2011, but I always, through Inge, you know, would see him around and, you know, always sort of followed his career as well. And then obviously it was nice when he came back, and I think his words were the first time when I walked in, he was in the first before me, and I walked in, he goes, "You still going, man?" Which proves your point. Exactly, which proves your point.
25, I am.
I was only 22 then. it was good fun.
You mentioned there about the Chesterfield win and that was sort of staying up that season. I think Mikey Morton, since met Mikey, I think he doesn't maybe get the credit he deserves. Would you two agree with that? I know he won't be your top manager, but he did a good job in really difficult circumstances, didn't he, looking back?
Yeah, I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. It was a tough job to come into for what he was having to do, and you know, with a big squad. And he didn't know from one day to the next. I think Scotty, you might be able to tell me on this one, but you know, I think he was told on the way to the game, one of the games, that he wouldn't be in charge by Monday morning, and that didn't happen. Yeah. You know, he ended up staying on, and so he was having to firefight a wee bit, and managed to galvanise the group of lads enough to just get us over the line.
I knew Mikey before, and obviously I didn't know he was coming in with David Webb, and I saw him walk through the door, and I was like, oh.
Who's that you with?
Yeah, I actually was, and then after, like, when obviously David Webb left, I was relieved, really, and then Michael took the job, and yeah, like Paddy said, it was difficult for him, because we had a lot, and I think we had 30 some of players. So trying to coach that on a day-to-day basis is very, very tough. Yeah. And I think he did a great job, to be fair.
Yeah. And how's it going for you in National League half now?
Yeah, done all right. Yeah, we played Fylde yesterday, beat them 2-1. So still got a bit left in me. Don't know how long, but yeah, I'm still enjoying football. Still enjoying the environment, playing. So yeah. Happy.
A few ex-Yorkmans there with Ian.
I've known Ian for a lot of years. He was a big reason for me to go there in the first place, so yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Good stuff. Michael Duncan, fair on. So I'm going to invite